athletes that contribute. Steve Smith, and that's nationally. Steve Smith is, God bless him. And he just did another thing. He put up $600,000 for Pershing High School for a scholarship for a kid each year out of there, off the interest. Steve is a very unique guy in what he's done, and honored his mother. That's unusual. And the building is excellent. Now, that's not going to do it. It's going to take more than a building and some computers to get these kids going. But it shows great support. It's a very big tool in recruiting. That there's still a few families out there that got football in its right perspective, where they know that they can't eat it. And doesn't matter what they make and how high they go in the draft, they got to make a living for themselves, and they got to be happy, and they got to get that education. And there's a lot, and that building is a symbol of the effort that the school's making to help those kids get through. Because these kids, some of them aren't even close to being prepared, not even close. And there's no way of hiding them. We don't have a curriculum where you can just go in there and hide. When I went to school, we had a lot of phys ed majors. Physical education was easy for athletes. I mean, it was right up our alley. But that curriculum is so tough now. It's when I went to school, your tough courses were physiology, anatomy, kinesiology, statistics. Now, it's not easy, and it's a lot tougher curriculum. A lot of our kids, maybe that's why they're policemen, went to police administration, because maybe a little easier than some of the other curriculums.
In looking back on the football history of Michigan State since the time you first walked on campus, what do you see the role as of football at the university today?
Well, you can't just talk about this. It's football nationally. Mm-hmm. Hard to justify some of the things we do in athletics if we're here for an education and higher education, how athletics are so strong. The reason they're so strong is because they bring so much publicity to the university. And it brings so much contributions from alumni that are fickled over how important athletics are. And that doesn't make it right. But there ain't anything we can do about it. We're only fighting with fire at Michigan State. It happens the whole country is interested in winning football and basketball championships, realizing the contributions that come from it and the publicity that comes from it. And it's, we got ourselves in a real dilemma here. It has nothing to do with individuals, how they feel about it, but I can certainly see, how would I like to have gone to school and have a PhD and worked and studied and done everything be ranked at ninth on the payroll in the Big Ten, and my basketball and football coaches are making $1 million. And they took games and methods of education and gymnastics and basketball and football courses, and how are you going to justify that? So it's hard. And same token, the football coach say, yeah, but next year if I don't win, I'm going to be in the street, and he's going to still be there getting TIA credits and having a good life. And he's going to say, well, how about those profs that work 8 hours a week and have office hours that they don't keep and have consulting positions where they use their secretaries and their copy machines and all that and write books? So, you know, it's both ways. But right now you're seeing my best years, because I've only been out 6 years. My last year, I was doing about 400,000, which is great. If I was in it today, I'd probably be doing $1.2 million, $1.3 million. That's only happened in the last 5 years. And it made jumps every year, but then about 4 years ago, it doubled. And it'll keep going higher and higher because one school's Oklahoma wins a championship, they want to make sure their coach is the highest paid guy. Maybe that's not answering your question. But college athletes or athletics are big because the alumni make it big. Or they're not going to, I mean, they won't contribute if they lose. They won't contribute if they don't like the coach. And it's just too bad. The whole thing stems from the universities needing contributions. Anytime you give, you get your mouth in there, and that screws everything up. If we didn't need the contributions, we could run a straighter university. But we got to cater to who's got the cash. And when you, and some of these guys, when they have the cash and they cough it up, they want to name some coaches, they want to, they name on a building, they want this, they want that. And then we got board members that become fans. And they want their coach in, they want to win, they want to travel, they want to do all the things that, they want to have all the perks. And they're fans. No room for a fan as a board member. If they were smart, someone would get up at their board meeting and say, let's make a resolution. We don't go to any game unless we pay our own way. And we go on our own way. We don't go with the team. We don't go on the plane. We don't go on the train. We don't go on the bus. We go to the games. We buy our ticket and we go. But that's not the case. So now we end up with a whole bunch of fans on the board. And maybe the governor's right. Maybe that would be appointed by the governor instead of elected, because the elections are a joke. All they do is write in on whoever's going to win the election, whoever's running for that party's part of it. But it's, these universities are expensive. I always wondered why. I'm in the same boat as you, but I can't, probably, I brought this to Luana one time. How in the world can we have a retirement program where we put in 5% and the state of Michigan puts in 10% and we don't have caps and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? The secretary making 20,000 gets 5% and nothing and 10%. And the president or the football coach gets $200,000, 5%, and 10%. We don't have caps. We don't have nothing. Looks like the rules are made by the people that are reaping the harvest. And the taxpayers don't know shit. I mean, we got great retirements. It's the best there is. Only federal judges have it better.
Sort of a perk for the, what we pay that's for during the 30 years you're there.
Luana says it's a perk because we don't get paid high enough. I asked her head on when I was still working there, too.
That's what she said, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I have my good friend Larry Sierra, who runs Intramurals. Him and I were students here together. Now, Larry is 35 years, 37 years. He's TI Craft. He's 1.4 million. Arlene over at radiology, she's about 700. And he never made big salaries. He only became the director about 10 years ago. But everybody seems to leave, at least if you've been here a reasonable amount of time, you're going to at least make what you were when you were working, if you subtract the things you don't have to contribute to and so on. Which is a good deal. I mean, I love it. But I can't believe the taxpayers let this shit slide through. Big time retirement.
If you look back on your years as football coach, what comes to mind in terms of reflecting on the perilous years at Michigan State University. Anything that stands out or that you'd like to be remembered by, at least in your own words?
Green blood. Yeah. I mean, this place made my life. I have kept in close touch with all my buddies that I grew up with, a lot of them. I mean, don't forget we went to the Army with 15 of us. I probably see out of that 15, 10 of them, three or four times a year. I go down to their kids' weddings, and they come up here for my golf outing for Special Olympics, and they all had GI Bill, like I did. Not one of them went to college. Some worked at Cyclone Fence, putting up fence. Some worked at Tasty Bread, peddling bread. A lot of them worked at Ford Motor, either in the steel mill, hooking a hooker, or the foundry, Jerry Woods, or a few of them in the office as clerks. And that's what I would have done, and I could have been very happy. They go golfing, they go to Florida, they do things everybody else does. But when I came up here, I saw that this was beautiful. This was leaving Verner Highway coming here. As long as I didn't turn my back on my friends back home. And my friends have followed me from playing here to coaching at Dayton to coaching in high school at St. Ambrose to the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to games. So I've been close to them the whole time, and they've taken advantage of the things that I've had to enjoy. But when I went here, I said, oh, if I could just be an assistant football coach here and live here. And then when I had to think about leaving, because Duffy was about ready to retire, and then Pittsburgh, I loved it, and we won 4 Super Bowls, but I still, always something missing was Michigan State being home. Then when I got this job, I would have walked back, even though I was head coach of Philadelphia Stars. Miles Tannenbaum, that morning we had that brunch with him, and he said, we're going to sue. We sat down, and he started threatening right away. I said, just a minute, I got to make a call. I went and called Doug Weaver, he's still at the hotel. I said, these guys are threatening to sue. I said, I don't know what to do. He said, you want me to come down there and join arms with you? I said, no, that's all I needed. I have your backing. I went back to the table. I said, Miles, I'm going. I'll tell you one thing. I don't tip this table over, and I'm walking home if I have to, but I'm going. And there was no money. There was nothing material-wise anybody could give me to keep me from coming back here. And when I went back to the hotel, and Doug and I went to the airport. We got on the plane. I had time for one phone call. He was getting the tickets. I called Sally. I said, Sally, we're going home. We're going home. I can't talk now. Hung up. Then we changed planes in Chicago. I had time for one call. I called my mother. She's still living, 93. I said, Mom, I'm coming home. That's all I can tell you right now. And we came home to Grand Rapids. Eddie Rutherford picked us up. Doug and I got in the back seat. Eddie had a couple beers in the car, and we went to Doug's house. I stayed overnight, then I went to Kellogg Center and had the press conference. And we did that, and then I, after the press conference, Saturday, I went to Eddie Rutherford's house, had lunch. He took me to the airport in Detroit, flew home. My wife picked me up. We went to downtown Pittsburgh at the fancy restaurant up top of one of the buildings. It was a going-away party. They had organized before for Sally and I going away to Philadelphia, and we're going away, but a different place now. They all found out then, and I stayed home Saturday night, flew back in here Sunday, and started to work, and it was the greatest thrill of my life as being the head coach here, more so than winning the Rose Bowl or the Super Bowls, being the head football coach here. And I was lucky. It's hard to last 12 years. Some do longer. But the average is a lot less than 12, so I was glad and fortunate to have 12 years. And when I was done here, I was never interested in coaching anymore or anyplace else. And so then I started the Motor City Bowl. And now I have the Motor City Bowl that I own, and the Hula Bowl that I work for, and then I have the Special Olympics golf outing we've had for 13 years now, and that's what I do. I get up in the morning, I go to the MAC and swim, and then put all that shit on, shave, watch TV, read the paper, have a coffee, get dressed, and do a couple errands, see my mother at 10:30 at Bertram, then go have lunch, then if by 2 o'clock, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be at the Sip and Snack playing gin, come home 4:30, and then whatever has to eat or out to eat or what. So I'm really having fun, and I have the bowl game, but I don't have to do a lot at this time of the year. I probably only put in hard work from the Monday after Thanksgiving until we finish with the game the end of December. So I'm having a lot of fun. And this is fun. This is like when I wrote my book. You ever see?
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah.
I wrote the book with a writer from the Mad Armenian, Bahi.
George Blaha?
No, Bahi.
Oh, Bahi.
He was out of St. Louis. St. Louis Dispatch or whatever paper it is. I hired someone neutral because I didn't want to, I just wanted to do it that way. And so we sat out in my dining room for 2 weeks, and I rattled off like this. Just kept rattling. That sucker took it home and did it. It only took me about 2 weeks, about 4 hours a day. I got all those notebooks there. Everything I did at Michigan State, I kept a notebook on. One of those secretary books. I write everything down, and I got a record of everything way back to the Steelers even. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I kept all my books.
Well, we need to talk about that sometime for the archives.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project. We appreciate your perspective and all the things you shared. Thank you.
Glad to do it.
Thank you very much.